This is Careers in New Media with Douglas E. Welch. For more information, visit the website, douglasewelch.com/newmedia. In this show, Douglas E. Welch speaks to the independent filmmakers of the Inland Empire.
As Eric said, my name is Douglas Welch. I am a 25-year plus computer consultant. I was one of the first podcasters when the term was coined about 5 years ago. I am also, since the time podcasting, gotten more and more into new media, social media, and various things. This will, well, had it up here a second ago, hold on. There we go. That group there, New Media Interchange, is a group I founded. It's a free group, sort of like your group here, but it's dedicated to bringing the power of new media to everybody, not just you media types, as it is, you know, predominantly here in the Southern California area, but also people like hairdressers, realtors, restaurant owners, everybody, because I truly believe, after having lived with new media for so long, that there is a lot of power involved in this stuff. Your job, and anyone's job in today's world, is to show people what you do and how well you do it. And that sounds like I'm reducing the world down to a very small thing, but it's true. A lot of the standard structures we've all grown up with or we've all inherited, especially in the entertainment industry, are breaking down. We all know that, right? We see the distribution is breaking down. I call it breaking the distribution stranglehold. Finally, we can actually get our stuff out there. Agents have broken down. All sorts of these deals that we've lived with for really almost a century now have broken down. Now, for independent filmmakers, it's always been an important part for you to do a lot of this stuff yourself. You funded the movie, you directed the movie, you acted in the movie, you wrote the movie, you did everything yourself. What I like to believe now is you're still doing that, but everyone else is figuring out they have to do it too. Unless you're already famous today, the PR department at a studio does not know who you are. The PR department at a publisher does not know who you are. And in some cases, they don't really care. Okay? Especially if you're a mid-list author, if you're an independent filmmaker, if you're a small filmmaker, small budgets and sort of things, they really don't care. So it's up to each and every one of us to use the tools around us to tell people, and you're going to hear this again and again and again during this talk, what you do and how well you do it. So, how do you do that? Well, the fact is, over the last 10 years or so, we've been given a gift. All of us have. We've been given the gift that allows us to not just make our movies, not just write our books, not just paint our artwork, but now we can show them to more than just the friends, the families, the neighbors, maybe a few film festivals out there. Now we can actually distribute our work to anybody, theoretically, anyone with an internet connection, which is becoming more and more the world today. Unfortunately, I see a lot of people who don't take advantage of this, and there's several reasons why that happens. There's fear involved. You guys are pretty techie, though, if you're doing this stuff, as we saw in the Ave video. But there is some fear involved. People don't know what to do. There's also some concepts that we're still holding on to from the old world. Well, I don't do PR. That's the PR department's job. I don't do this. That's their job. Where everything was compartmentalized. You have to do it all yourself. And the fact is, there are very easy ways for you to do it. How many people here are actively using new media, social media, online video sharing, live video streaming, whatever, to promote their projects? Okay, great, about half. So for those of you who are already doing this, hopefully I'm going to touch on some new ideas that you can put into place to expand that even further. And for those of you who aren't doing it, I hope by the end of my time today, I have convinced you, my joke is I want to send you dancing out the door, ready to get to your computer. I hope I've convinced you to start to use some of these tools and to overcome some of these hurdles you might be experiencing, whether it's fear or denial, which happens a lot in the LA area. It's okay. It's okay to just be starting out with these things, but I truly want you to understand there's a lot of power there. So, used to be the gatekeepers were your biggest bane of your existence. Can I get by the secretary? Can I get by the lower level executive? Can I get by the higher level executive? Can I get to the actual guy who can green light this thing? Nowadays, there's some interesting ways that you can circumvent that procedure. There's a story, probably partially apocryphal, but it has the ring of truth. A new Sony executive, was looking for new properties to include on their websites. Something hip and cool, something funny. And so he was just browsing through YouTube one day. And he came across this group who had put their videos online called The Groundlings. Now, how many people know who The Groundlings are? A large majority of people. If you've lived in the LA area for any length of time, you know who The Groundlings are. Well, this guy didn't. And he's flipping through YouTube, and he comes across some of the sketches they put online. And he goes, wow, these guys are great. Why haven't I heard? I got to call these guys. And they end up booking him for like a 60-segment deal to produce sketches for the Sony website. If someone as famous as The Groundlings can use new media to get discovered by a major studio, you can too. Because it's a fairly level playing field. To a large part, it is a meritocracy. If you have something good, it's very possible that you're going to be able to get that seen by, well, in fact, you don't really know by who. Come on. When you're using new media and social media, I make new media the overarching term and social media being a part of that, because I also think that video sharing sites like YouTube and others, live video streaming sites like Ustream and others, and all these other things kind of roll under that new media banner, podcasting as well. The fact is, out in social media and new media, you actually have no idea who your audience is. Now, I know we've grown up over the years, especially in Hollywood, of this show is going to target males 18 to 35 with blonde hair who happen to live in Venice or whatever. You know, there's some weird specific demographic that they'll give you. And the fact is, most people will tell you the Nielsen ratings are fiction at best. And oftentimes nowadays we're finding that we don't know who our audience is. And I really want you to internalize that. In the case of a retail concept of that, I drive a Honda Element. Everyone's seen the Honda Element, kind of big boxy thing, right? Meant for outdoors. You look at the ad, it's all for these, you know, young new marrieds or young singles, and they're going snowboarding or skiing or something else. I was at the Honda dealership buying that car. And I said, so, a lot of young people buying the car, right? The guy goes, no, the average age of the person buying this car is 60. Okay? You don't know who your audience is. And I will add, nor should you care. Your audience is whoever is interested in your work. If you self-limit yourself targeting a specific audience, you're limiting your work. Your job is to get your work out there in front of as many people as possible. You want to give as many people as possible the opportunity to stumble upon your work. Just like the story with the Sony executive and The Groundlings. They happen to put their stuff out there not knowing what it might do for them, and something good came of it. And I think you're going to see more and more and more of that as we move further and further into new media, as Facebook gets bigger, as blogging gets bigger, as online video sharing gets bigger. On a side note, just today, I saw a news story came through my feeds that said YouTube is buying a company called Next New Video, I think. Guess what Next New Video does? They produce shows. When I first saw the Google TV, and I saw that the existing big studios and networks were blocking their content from being shown in that box, I said, God, Google's got how many billions of dollars? Why aren't they producing their own shows? Why aren't they going out there and finding the best that's out there, giving them a little extra money, and coming up with a show that's just as popular as Friends, or My Dad Says, or whatever. Properties, in fact, that came from the internet to begin with? Well, I think today, with this first news story, that's exactly what we're seeing. And that's the position you want to find yourself in. You want to have your stuff out there and available where it can be stumbled upon. That makes sense to everybody? You seeing that? And there's so many ways of doing that. You can, well, to go, let's see here, keep on track here. One of the ways you can do that, especially with a visual medium like you're doing, is use YouTube and other video sharing sites. If you're producing a project, and I really don't care at what stage that project is in, you should have some video on those sites. Even if it's just behind-the-scenes information, the director talking about casting, whatever. As many of you know yourselves, we crave behind-the-scenes information about entertainment projects. We love the commentaries. We love to see behind-the-scenes footage. We love to feel like we're standing backstage, the fly on the wall, seeing the sausage being made. There's no reason you can't do that with your own projects. And in fact, that type of content is nothing but a pure PR play for your project. It interests people in what you're doing. It gets them involved in what you're doing. And in some cases, it might even get you funding for what you're doing if someone happens to stumble across that material and it strikes a chord with them. All of you out there need a home. A home on the internet. Now, I have a series of, I've actually broken it down for you because I deal with some people, as I was saying, realtors, retailers, restaurateurs and stuff, who are really new to this stuff. They're not technical at all. And so I figured out how to get them over that overwhelming deer in the headlights look that they sometimes get when they talk to me by breaking it down into prescriptions. Here are 5 easy steps to get going. One of the first things I do to them is I say, you got to set up a blog. How many people here have a blog? I would say every project, every person, and every project needs to have a blog. What you'll find is once you have a place to put stuff like behind-the-scenes info, cast info, whatever, information about your project, once you have a place to put that stuff, guess what you're going to do? You're going to find stuff to put there. Because now you have a place to put it. It's like having a place at home where something goes. And you know, oh, now that I have a place where that goes, it always goes there. And you feel very happy. You feel very organized in that one little corner of your life. At least that's the way I feel. Blogs are the same way. Once you realize that, oh, I had this really interesting discussion with an actor or an actress today, I can put that on the blog. I can share that with people. Because there are people out there who want to know. And they'll want to know about your project. It also gives you a place that when you put information on other websites like YouTube and others, you have a home base to direct people back to for yourself and your project. So what happens with YouTube is your video kind of gets disassociated from you. It's part of the huge, you know, shoebox of YouTube. So every video you put up there has your URL, your home blog address, your name, your email address, whatever to get back people back to your home. Because that's your job. You're trying to let them stumble across your stuff, but God forbid, make sure they have a way of finding out who you are. I can't count in the early days of podcasting how many times you would hear a great music track that someone just dumped out in their podcast feed with no information on it. And you're like, I want to buy it. I want to buy the album. I want to know who this artist is. Like, what else have they produced? And there's no way to contact them. And you sometimes had to go through very circuitous routes to figure out who this person was when all they had to do was simply put their contact information in their MP3 file, or in your case, in your video files, at the beginning, at the end, in the MTV style caption at the bottom, however best suits you. Okay, so get a blog. There weren't enough people here who had blog. Get a blog, again, for yourself, and I also recommend for each major project that you're doing. Because there's content about you, and there's also content about the project. The fact is, too, the project content can get duplicated onto your own site because it is about you as well. So you're kind of feeding both those worlds. For however people might feel about it, Facebook right now has the juice. So the next thing you want to do is you want to be on Facebook. You want to be on Facebook. In some cases, if you're a personality, if you're an actor or an actress or a musician or a DJ or someone like that, you probably also want to have a Facebook page where people can become fans of you. And again, there's nothing stopping you from having one of those pages for each of your projects too. Okay? The simple fact is Facebook has a juice right now. We don't know what could take its place in the future. And so you do have to kind of keep your eyes open and seeing what's out there, what's coming down the road, what else can I take advantage of? Because these tools are there for you to take advantage of. Yes, Google makes money because they put ads next to emails and ads next to search results, but the fact is you get the benefit for free of them doing this service for them to make money. Why wouldn't you do it? I often talk to podcasters in the early days of podcasting, and I said, if you could have your own TV show, why wouldn't you? If you could have your own radio show, why wouldn't you? If you could have your own newspaper in the form of a blog, why wouldn't you? These are great tools that are out there that you can take advantage of, in most cases for free. Why wouldn't you do it? In the past, talking with people, we often find out that people feel either scared about PR or just kind of, oh, it's like sales. Oh, I'm not good at PR. I can't do that. I can't talk to people. I can't. Guess what? You don't have to. Because when you use your blogs, when you use your Facebook, when you use your YouTube, and you integrate those tools into your life, your PR is done for you. Simply by doing what you're doing on your project, you're generating PR. It's not like you have to sit down and write a stupid press release, which I don't think anybody reads anymore anyway. Put something on your blog. Type it up real quick and send it. You can do it from your phone, from your home computer, whatever, from the coffee shop. It doesn't take that much energy, and it doesn't feel as scary because you've integrated it into your life. It's simply a conversation I had with someone. It's simply some photos I took of some locations that I'm looking at for my film. It's simply a clip of music that a guy I think might be a good composer for the music for my film happens to have. It's constantly generating for you. Podcasters often ask me, well, how do you do a show? How do you do a radio show? How do you come up with all those ideas? And it's like, don't think of it that way. Same thing with blogging. Your blogs, your podcasts, your videos are just a way of capturing the content you already have. Every day we throw away more content than you would absolutely believe, because we don't capture what we're doing. We don't capture that quick little chat we had with perhaps someone famous about something on video or on audio that we could then share on our blog with our friends, with our readers, or whatever. If you interviewed someone moderately famous and you put that on your blog, guess what that's going to do? It's going to attract people to your blog, because they're going to see that name pop up in the search listings or pop up on Twitter or pop up here or there, and they're going to, oh, what's that? And all of a sudden, you've captured eyeballs, you've captured ears that you would have never captured except for the fact that you took the time, you integrated it into your life, and you grabbed that little piece of content you had. This is a tech world example, but how many people know Nolan Bushnell? Okay, he was the inventor of the Atari. Okay, he was also the creator of Chuck E. Cheese. Bushnell optics, telescopes, and everything. He's just a serial entrepreneur from my day. they had a restaurant that they were trying out in L.A. called U-Wink. It was basically a restaurant where you had computers on the table and you could play games and order through the computers. And we were there for an L.A. Geek Dinner. It was just something we used to get together, a bunch of us techie folks, and we would go to places, and we went there, and Nolan was there and had agreed to come and speak with us for a little bit. And after he's done speaking to the group, I went and I had my little lavalier mics and I had my little recorder that I carry in my pocket. I said, Mr. Bushnell, could I possibly get an interview with you? And we sat down at the bar while he was waiting for his dinner to arrive from the kitchen, and we had a nice 20, 25-minute interview that I would have missed out of entirely had I not just been carrying something with me. And the fact is, today you don't need to carry a recorder. You carry a recorder with you already. Okay? Most of our phones are more than capable audio recorders and even more than capable video recorders. This is an iPhone 4. It does 720p video. You know, for something on YouTube, that's more than good enough. In fact, YouTube will throw away a lot of the video in there anyway before when you upload it. Be prepared. When you're out doing your projects, if you can, I know it sounds a little, fluffed up, but if you can, have someone who's designed whose job it is to capture stuff, to follow you around with a camera, to follow you around with a still camera, a video camera, an audio recorder, whatever, and just capture what's going on the set, in the writer's room, in the edit room. Because you're going to go back and you'll flip through and go, man, did I say that? Wow, that was pretty cool. I didn't know. And you capture these little gems that, one, make you feel better because you realize, hey, I'm not a complete hack at this stuff. I actually know what I'm doing. But it's also something to share with the rest of the world. And again, something that's very easy to capture. There's no reason any of you can't capture this stuff and put it to use. So we talked about blogs. We talked about Facebook. In some cases, some of you might want to use Twitter as well. Twitter, again, is trending. It's kind of big. It's in the news. There are some specific uses for Twitter. A lot of people have their favorite service. So when I try out a new service, I often say that I'm basically setting up shop in their hometown. You know, it's like I had a small pizza house in my hometown, and people in the other town really liked my pizza, but they didn't want to come to my town to get it all the time. So I said, well, okay, fine. I'll come to your main street, and I'll set up shop in your main street. So if people want to talk to me on Facebook, I talk to them on Facebook. They want to talk to me on Twitter, I talk to them on Twitter. They want to talk to me via email or blog comments or whatever. I interact with these people wherever they want to interact. And that's what you need to be doing too. Again, you're not going to spend hordes of time. There are some people who keep their Facebook page up the whole time and are constantly watching it, you know, what's new, what's going on. I don't live that way. For my case, most of my stuff is email or Twitter. Facebook, I get email notices when someone wants to talk to me on Facebook, and it's only then that I really go over and interact with them there. But I am very careful to do that because that's where they want to live. That's where they want to talk. So it's very important to kind of be where they want you to be as well. And again, all of those things allow you to get your stuff out there. Oh, Facebook video, I didn't actually mention. Facebook video? Facebook video is like one of the biggest video sharing sites of all, even bigger than YouTube, I believe. Photos the same way. Photos are bigger than any of the other video sharing sites. No one knows it because it's all kind of inside of Facebook. They don't think of it as something separate. It's just in Facebook. So again, there's another place for you to put your videos. The page allows you to have something like a blog. If you have a fan page on Facebook, kind of use that as your blog and your discussion groups as well. Finally, and then we'll open it up for question and answer, something we're seeing more and more of these days is also kind of banding together of like-minded people. During the writer's strike a few years ago, a lot of the writers said, hey, you know, well, we're kind of on strike, what are we going to do? Well, why don't we do something for ourselves? And so they invented Strike TV, which was a system whereby writers and producers and directors could get together, work on smaller projects, and have them released under one banner. Basically, it's a cooperative thing. Strike's long over. Strike TV continues onwards. Another site you've probably heard of is Funny or Die, which is Will Ferrell's, and he's invested in that site heavily. Again, combining collective powers, combining your work together, is a way of gaining power. And of course, finally, this group. Have you guys ever thought about putting up a Inland Empire indie movie group channel? Why not share the wealth between yourselves? Why not put your best projects up there together so that if your project garners attention, you benefit? And if your project garners attention, she benefits, and so on and so on and so forth. We actually have a small group that I'm a member of. It's a tech podcasting group called Friends in Tech that we formed back at the beginning of podcasting, and that's in our charter. Our charter is we get together for three reasons: cross-promotion, cross-pollination of ideas, and fun. And over the years, we actually create silly tech parody Christmas episodes together and do a variety of things there. We share tech tips, and we point each other, others' audience to each other's shows. And so we really, all of us benefit. I mean, it's sharing the wealth. I mean, that's a very old term, but that's exactly what you're doing. You're sharing the wealth amongst all of you. So I hope you'll take that idea. And so, Eric, where's that? Can you set that up on the Facebook page? Let's get some videos up there. At that point, just to review the prescriptions: blog, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. For you guys, YouTube's probably higher, merely, again, because it's got the juice, it's got the eyeballs. Right now, your stuff's more likely to be stumbled upon because of their referral engines and other things to say, hey, have you seen These are related videos to the one you're watching, and you can pop up there as well. I want to thank you very much for having me out and for basically opening it up for any questions you might have. Yes, sir. Mark.
I had a question on the social media site you're talking about putting up your media content. Are there any concerns about the encroachments of your rights to the media that you put on Facebook?
Good question. If you're worried about rights, and unfortunately, worrying about rights, the one thing you're looking for in any service you join, like YouTube or Facebook or whatever, is the word non-exclusive. The fact is, they get a lot of flack for their terms and licenses because people think they're trying to take your work. Unfortunately, what they have to have legally, and let's not even talk about lawyers, but legally in their agreements, they have to have a thing that says, if we happen to show your video during an advertisement, you can't sue us. Okay? So typically the term non-exclusive will be in there. Now let me add, I am not a lawyer, okay? But that's the term you're looking for, is non-exclusive. It's basically protecting them from getting sued by someone who said, hey, you used 5 seconds of my video in your national TV ad, I want $2.5 million. Okay? Be aware of that. I know it's a hard slog, but actually read the terms of service when you sign up for a site. We're lucky in that because there are so many eyeballs on these terms of service, usually anything horribly egregious gets flagged pretty quickly, and you'll hear about it. And most companies have shown the desire to say, no, that's not what we meant, sorry, okay, fine, if that's what you think it means, we'll rewrite it to do this. So, but definitely be aware of that. The other way around that is to use portions. It's rare you're going to put an entire project up. You're going to put your entire film up. You're going to put your entire piece up. That's why I really push the behind-the-scenes information, because that type of stuff is perfect. It has less issues as far as rights go, because you're not making money on that. That is actually your PR for, hopefully, the money-making project. Does that make sense? Great. Next question. Anybody else? Yes. Oh. Yes, go ahead.
Can you recommend the blog site?
Yes. The best blog site I can recommend right now is WordPress.com. Isn't working very well here. So let me do a quick switch here. Hold on, bear with me for a second. Arrangement. Come on. Here. You'll see, in fact, if you look at the URL, you'll see New Media Interchange WordPress.com. Because for my shared projects, I tend to use WordPress for that. WordPress.com is great to start off quick projects because, one, you don't know, of course it didn't reset correctly, did it? You don't know whether they're going to go or not, and so you didn't really invest a lot of time in setting up your blog site. It's very, very powerful, and should the project take off, you can easily roll a WordPress.com site, which is hosted at WordPress. You can roll it into a self-hosted version of your blog, which gives you a bunch more power on your own site. And so that's the one I'm recommending now. I actually started off with Blogger. Blogger is another one. I still have one blog on Blogger, but I've moved pretty much everything from my own to WordPress. But if you're getting there, I once did it with a class. I said, let's see how long it takes to set up a blog and post your first item. Less than 5 minutes from creating your account to posting your first item. That to me, and because the whole reason behind it is to get it up and running, to start doing it. And so if it's simple like that, it just makes it so much more useful for you. You're not spending all the time fiddling with the site. You're actually getting content up there. Yes, the gentleman had a question about how to learn more about me. DouglasEWelch.com. DouglasEWelch.com. If you visit there, you'll see a page that basically links to everything else I do, including New Media Interchange and the other stuff that I've talked about. Yes, ma'am.
You talked about WordPress.com. How about WordPress.org?
WordPress.org is basically a self... it's the host site for a self-installed version of WordPress. WordPress.com, hosted on their site. Basically, they can take care of everything for you. WordPress.org is basically you download the WordPress software, you push it up to your website, and you run it on your website, okay? What you get when you do that is you get a lot of more freedom. You can install various plugins to do a wide variety of things. You can install more themes to do a wide variety of things, stuff like that. But yeah, they call it the term we try to use is a self-hosted install. Now, I will tell you too, lots and lots of web hosts like GoDaddy and others have one-button installs for WordPress. You literally go in and say, I want a WordPress install. Which directory do you want it in? Do I want it in that directory? Go. And it sets up everything for you. And then from that point, you can choose your theme. You can choose which plugins you want to run and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Next question. Anybody else? Well, I want to thank you very much for having me out today. I really would push you guys to work together for your own mutual benefit, and also make sure you get your own stuff out there. Remember, what have I been saying all day, all night? Show people what you do and how well you do it. Okay? Great.
This is Careers in New Media with Douglas E. Welch. For more information, visit the website, douglasewelch.com/newmedia.